is The Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
That is what's up. That is what's up, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Dunn joining us.
What's up?
Laura is out because she's currently on her way to the Rebo Casino grand opening in Conway. That'll be happening at noon. By the time you hear this, it's already probably going to be open. But
yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, and we are going to be talking once again with, we don't normally do the same guest, you know, within a month on a national level. But it's Chris Myers.
Yeah.
And it's Super Bowl week.
Yeah,
Super
sure.
Bowl, you know, he's the Fox football guy. He did racing. There's nothing he hasn't done. He's got a book out. It's called Sometimes You Just Say Wow, I think is what it's called, I believe. Hold on. That deserves a wow. That deserves a wow. You got to think, like, from a guy, from a sports fan perspective, guys like him, guys like Costas, guys like that have done it forever and done multiple sports. The stuff that they've seen and been a part of, Al Michaels, another one. You know, there's a million guys. Marv Albert, all those guys that have covered everything from the Olympics to the greatest moments in sports. Just the memories they have. It's got to be incredible.
I wonder if they remember him as vividly, you know?
We've had a couple of them on before, and Al Michaels' memory was phenomenal.
Oh yeah, Al Michaels is legendary for that.
And Chris Myers, and so we did.
We had Berman on once.
Berman,
Chris
yep.
Berman. Love Chris years Berman. Ago.
We had somebody
sent
on.
Sent us a golf ball with his signed golf ball.
Yeah, we also had somebody talking about the Masters and what that was like. You know, all these kinds of things. But he's going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. But Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. I don't even have plans. I don't even know where I'm watching it, to be honest.
I know I'm going to Bronco Ed's for some pregame. I'm doing the Penguin Plunge, then I go to Bronco Ed's. We'll figure out some bets and stuff. And I think halftime I'll be home.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably go with Dave and Joe's, watch the first half of it, and then we'll go home and watch the second half. Chris, he's joining us a little early today. All right. I like that. Let me press a couple of buttons here and put this through.
All right.
Through.
I'll be sitting next to my pellet stove watching the game. Nobody nice. Else.
No pregame? Okay. No pregame anywhere?
No pregame. No.
I'm good. I don't know if Chris is there. Chris, can you hear me?
I got you.
How you doing, man?
Sorry. Good, good. Are we doing, do you need on camera or no?
No, I don't. I don't need, I know what you look like. You're a good looking fella. I trust you're good looking on the other side of it.
And nobody needs to see us.
Right.
Your eyesight's going, but that's okay.
No. Chris is, so we were just talking, and, you know, we talked to you about a month ago about the That Deserves a Wow, that great book.
I remember. Awesome. That was nice. Yes.
Up in New England here, and, you know, Super Bowl coming, and, you know, we were just talking about, and again, this applies to you, is, you know, the memories that you have of the great, as all, we're all sports fans. And the memories that you've had just in your career, never mind the before your career when you watched sports and were a fan.
Right.
It's got to be the feeling of the things that you've seen are just, you can't put a price tag on what you've been lucky enough to be a part of in the sporting world.
No, you're right. And I would never have been able to do or pay for, spend the time to have the experiences firsthand, up close, in person, to meet some of the amazing people. So, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. And it is like an athlete where you ask them about their career, they I don't have time to reflect. You know, I'm too busy working, and that's kind of how it's been. So when I started to put these things together, I was like, man, it takes through decades, and it really is kind of a combination of a little bit of like Forrest Gump and a little bit of that movie Almost Famous with the young rock and roll journalist, that kind of combination of things. And but I'll tell you, it never it's a job, but it never felt, it still doesn't feel like a job. And when it gets to that point where it gets to the point where it's too, you know, it's too much of that and not enough of the fan fun part and the appreciation of sports, that's when, you know, that's when it's time to move on.
I never want to ever listen to a sportscaster that isn't a fan. Like I think you have to do it well, you have to be a fan, and part of that has to show through. And I did not ask this the last time we spoke, Chris, but what's the moment for you? What was the sporting moment, the highlight of your life that you were a part of? And I know,
As a fan, you mean, or the first time?
That your whole life and in the broadcast industry, like I just got to call the greatest game I've ever seen, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I gotta tell you, I was a fan, like I grew up, even though I was a Dodger fan, but when I was in the dugout in the dreary cold of the Red Sox and the Yankees, you know, whatever my rooting interests are, watching, I was a fan. Just the atmosphere at Fenway Park at that moment, that was one. And then, you know, that's in between. And then when they say, okay, Chris, you're going to do this interview or get ready for an update next inning, or you're going to go interview, you know, J-Lo and Affleck in the stands, you know, you got to think work. But in between that, I'm at the Super Bowl at sideline. I the national anthem, I pause it in between sideline reporting. I look up and I'm like, you know, this is pretty cool. I mean, there's Mahomes over there, you know, or there, and that's Tom Brady taking the field. So, and I'm a few feet away. So I insert those moments for myself.
I love it.
That's my way of staying a fan, so that I appreciate what fans go through with the winning and the losing, the underdog, the favorite, the guy who fumbled, you know, that kind of thing. So it's actually an interesting question, but I didn't do that on purpose. It just kind of happened that way.
I love those kind of stories. Kelly Brown, Chris Myers.
Chris, did you grow up in Florida?
Yes, I grew up in the North Miami, Fort Lauderdale area.
So
during the Don Shula years, when they were very good in the 70s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I think you just said you're a Dodgers fan. I'm going to need some explanation on that. But do you at all still root?
I'm going to need the lowdown on that.
Yeah,
we're going to circle back.
But do you still root for any of the favorite teams or your youth now, or has that time just passed you by and with so much stuff going on in your business?
Yeah, I have to keep a rooting interest because that's the fan in me. But I never lose the base for teams that I you know. And I didn't necessarily grow up, believe it or not, a Dolphin fan. But I'll tell you why when we get a chance. But I still what happens that once you get into the business here of covering teams, and you almost end up rooting for people, even though you shouldn't. You're supposed to be a partial call in the game. But you know, if there's an underdog story or if somebody in a production meeting, you know, happens to be a nice guy, you're kind of just like, well, I'd like to see them do well. And then you also think of underdog, you know, if there's the Lions, maybe it's their turn, or a Josh Allen, maybe it's his turn. So there's that kind of thing. But you separate that once the game starts. And I'm guilty of it, but our crew on football always got on me about, Chris, we want to catch our flights. I root for overtime because in every game, because then it means at least both teams were in it. We had a good game, even if it was sloppy or whatever, and that we're going to have some kind of great finish, because when you go to overtime, that's that sudden death kind of approach. Although, unless it's the playoffs, I guess you can still have a tie. But so that's kind of where my rooting interest goes. And real quick, Dodger fan, we didn't have a professional team. It was minor league spring training when I was growing up in South Florida. So Vero Beach was Dodger town, and that's when the Garvey and Lopes and Say and those guys in Lasorda were. So my dad would drive me up there, and I'd kind of watch those guys.
That's cool.
That's kind of my connection to the Dodgers.
I'm guessing you like overtime because I'm sure the networks pay time and a half, right? When you go into overtime, you get that extra
no,
cash.
I don't get any extra money, but they do. It comes back to all of us. Yes, the sales go up, the ratings go up, and being a part of that first overtime Super Bowl and being on that sideline, having the Patriots when Brady came back against the Falcons was again a special moment. I was working it, but boy, as a fan, I was feeling. I wasn't rooting for any side except for a good game. And again, those things. It's good to be a fan of those moments.
Absolutely,
when you have a second or two to take that in.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
That's one of my pet peeves is when a game goes into overtime or a game is going long. One of my announcer pet peeves is when they complain about missing a flight. It drives me insane. Oh, what, they're going to run out of filet mignon when you get on the next flight? I'm in a back of JetBlue 30 row 32C, trying to get to a comedy club.
Never make air those kinds of comments. I'm always worth, like, I'll stay another night if we have to, if this game keeps going, because we're getting to do what we like to do. I know that sounds a little corny, but we're still now. There are some times where you get stuck because of weather, traveling or something.
Oh yeah,
but you never, fans don't care about that.
No,
fans
we don't care.
Want the best, and they also want you talking about what's going on in the game, unless something personally that happens relates to the game that you were involved in.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's funny.
Can I ask you this about the Super Bowl? And I need help with this. Why do I hate the Chiefs? Like, I shouldn't hate the Chiefs. Like, by all records, the coach is a great guy. He's funny. He likes cheeseburgers. I like that guy, right? Travis Kelce is living the American dream. He's a football star, and he's dating the most popular woman in the world. And Mahomes has never really done anything but the right thing.
He's all good.
But I hate that team. I don't know why.
Well, Well, there's a couple of reasons. I mean, I think from what I hear from fans and people is, and I saw this with the Patriots, and of course they were easier to hate because Belichick came off the way he did.
Yeah.
You know, but they when somebody wins, that's the number one factor, whether it's Brady or even back in the 49er days with Montana when I started covering, they win, they get set. Why do they have to win all the time? What about my team? What about an underdog? What about somebody else? So that's number one. Mm. Today, too, you mentioned Kelsey, but the Taylor Swift effect, some people love it. Some people, it absolutely turns off. That's tied to the Chiefs now and Kelsey. So the NFL is loving it because, boy, that's even, sure. even more attention. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of envy in that. And then, you know, the other thing, commercials, too. I mean, you know, that's in your face all the time, even if it's somebody likable, like Andy Reid and Mahomes, when you're just bombarded with them, yeah. That gets to be a little bit annoying. And the officiating goes with that because, and look, the league's not rigged, but the good guys get the calls. That's historically accurate. The Chiefs do, and go back and cite examples every year in their run. But I think part of it is what it's like when the Patriots were winning. They're so good that they force other teams to do things that they shouldn't do, or at least be in a position where they shouldn't. And so I think sometimes the officials, whether it's intentional or not, give them the benefit of the doubt. So that all adds up to like, okay, you know, you're nice guys, you won, but go away, you're annoying.
I'm in New England.
Let's let Buffalo and Detroit play in this game.
I was really pulling.
See what happens.
Yeah, I was pulling for Buffalo because, you know, I want the fans that weathered the storm like we did before we started winning. I want somebody to win that hasn't won in a long time with these two teams. So what's your take on Sunday, Chris? I mean, what's the point? I don't know what the spread is, Kelly, with the Chiefs. I'm sure they're favored.
1.5 point favorite.
Okay, 1.5. So it's going to be close. What do you say?
It's a pick. I think it's, and I'm not a betting expert, it's a pick'em game in my book because they played a couple of years ago and it was a one score game. The Eagles, I think, are better. Are the Chiefs better? No, they're different. Their defense, talent wise, and in the trenches, the Eagles have an advantage. In fact, they probably, personnel and depth wise, have the advantage at every position except the two most important, which is quarterback and coach. And I'm not knocking Hurts or Sirianni, but I'm just saying that Mahomes and Reed are the difference. And that's the difference in a game. That's why they win 17 straight one-score games, no matter who they're playing. And so I think that real quick, obviously the Chiefs have to stop Saquon Barkley, but I think Hurts needs to run more with Barkley. That will be, don't air it out and make mistakes. That'll hurt. And on the other side of that, you know, where do you go, Kansas City? I mean, if you're the defense is very good for Philadelphia, but the Super Bowl they lost was Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
When the pressure was on, they sacked, they blitzed, they harassed him, even though the sack numbers weren't. And it happened early. It's like when Brady lost to the Giants, that pressure up front. You got to do that. How you have to risk it. And if you can do that, then maybe you slow down Mahomes, and that's how you beat Kansas City if you're on the Eagles side. So that's kind of how I look at it.
I digitally removed the Giants-Patriots Super Bowl from my memory banks.
Never
happened. I don't have that. It didn't even exist. Chris, always appreciate having you on the show once again, and wish you the best. The book is called That Deserves a Wow. A great read for any sports fan and a fan of broadcasting. Thanks for coming on with us again, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed talking to you guys and enjoy the game. We'll talk again. See ya.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye. What a life. A life, you know?
Very cool.
I mean, you know, like we talked to Frito. Like there's a guy, like a New England guy. He was in the dugout for when he was reporting with Nesson for the Red Sox and talking to him about the fact that he walks down the tunnel and he goes into the locker room and there's Ortiz spraying everybody with champagne and Freed's standing there. He's got a brand new suit. He just got a George's over it, just brand new for the World Series. And
that's a rookie move. That's a rookie move. That's on him.
They ruined the suit, but it was like what a night. I watched that. What's the last special they had on the Yank of the series? They just
came out. 30 for 30. There was the one that just came out, which I did not see.
And I watched that, and that was just watching that whole series, you know, between them and the Yankees and the comeback and all that stuff.
I was there.
It was so great. Yeah, were you really?
I was working for Nesson at the time. I had a press pass.
Yeah,
and I was doing the man on the street stuff.
Yeah,
on the pregame show.
Yeah,
I got fired about halfway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a season-long press pass.
Ain't giving that up.
And so I went in every night going, oh, they're going to get me tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Beep.
Yeah, right.
And then when the playoffs come around, they bring in a whole different level of security.
Right.
They bring in Major League Baseball security. I'll never get in now, right?
Yeah.
Beep. Watch the whole thing, man.
Wow.
Yeah. I was there for all of it.
That's crazy.
And then the night we beat the Yankees, had a friend that was working on the Jimmy Kimmel show. They said they were looking for somebody from Boston to do some live reporting from Boston.
Yeah.
Now, the game is in New York,
right?
But the bars in Lansdowne Street, they wanted somebody out in front of Lanza Street.
Flagging.
So I was so I was on the Jimmy Kimmel show that night.
Hey.
And Jimmy goes, what's the mood up there? And I go, what's the mood? We're going to walk around, find anybody's car that's got a New York plate on it, and flip it upside down. That's the mood.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, it was a good night.
That is funny. I watched that. That was pretty dang good. I know Roadkill's been riveted with the whole conversation.
Oh, my God.
Been
was
like,
amazing.
Yeah, look, he had his hand up.
I wish you had my microphone on.
Never got
I had questions.
I never turned your microphone off, in case you're wondering.
What he's, were you, he's on Facebook Marketplace looking at drums.
What were you looking at? A drum set?
No, not at all.
Be honest with me. It's okay.
I am. That was.
What are you looking at online?
The Last of Us. I just watched The Last of Us 2 trailer, and something just came out today. Triple H is in the process of working with another wrestling company. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Scotty never idles. He's always looking at something.
Show prep.
Yeah.
A lot of anime porn. Yeah. Scotty likes his porn and very cartoony.
Yeah.
He likes it very cartoony. No. He likes superhero sex, The Simpsons. He likes to watch Marge Simpson take it.
I don't know. I watch
from Homer.
Marge Simpson getting railed.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of cartoon
I didn't even
sex.
Know that existed. But God bless the internet.
Well, Kelly told me. So that's how I learned a lot of things.
Yeah.
To be honest, something came up in conversation last week at the house with the kids and stuff like that, and it was kind of dirty. And I made a comment about it, and they're like, how do you know that? I'm like, you don't work with Andy Blacksmith for 17 years and learn all kinds of things you had no idea existed.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So, all right. Well, there you go. This is Chris Myers, everybody. We got Super Bowl. I'm just going to chill. I'm torn because I don't want to – I don't like the fans of the Eagles.
Philly.
I don't like the fans of the Eagles.
I got some high-quality Eagles fans. Buddies of mine, but I know the city of Philadelphia has some really rough ones.
They're really good. They're a really good team. You know,
they're passionate. That's for sure. I'd love to. Here's if I could write the ending.
I love the good passion from a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Yeah. I don't like the assholes.
Yeah, I get it. You know? We live in New England, man.
I know, 100%. I totally get that too. So,
if I could write the ending of this game, it's 4th-and-1, and they need it to win, and they give the ball to Barkley, and he does it.
Yeah.
Like that. To me, that's a great story.
Yep.
Yeah, he's thrown away.
Yep.
And not thrown away, but, you know, nobody wanted him. And,
yep.
And the year that he's had, and then he had a chance to break the all-time record, but there was no point in it because it was a meaningless game because they were all sewn up. And, you know, they told him, hey, you're not going to play. And he took that pretty well, man.
Yeah.
He took that pretty well. And so I want to see him get a ring.
It doesn't hurt the Chiefs if they lose. I mean, it doesn't because they're still the one of the preeminent teams in the NFL.
But they,
you know, they want it because they want it.
They want it.
They're professionals, you know. So anyway,
as much as I think that the Eagles fans can be drunken morons, the Chiefs fans will be insufferable.
Mm.
And if I have
as we were, right.
But if I have a choice. I'd rather hang out with drunken morons than insufferable.
and that's how we're going to end it, right there. I think that says everything we need to say, right there. All right, Jimmy. Good to see you, buddy.
You too.
JimmyDunn.com. Check up on all the gigs and stuff like that. KellyBrown.com. He's got a porno gig on the side. You can see some of the clips. Something
wham,
like that.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, adult. Is what it's called.
Wham, bam, thank you, man.
All one word, no comments.
It's all good. All right, we'll see you all. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow, 5:30.